Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Wall. South Dakota fills with the greens and yellows and blossoming pinks of spring. What's coming up in your backyard? What do you want to learn this year about gardening and growing? Where are you stuck in caring for your plants and trees and grass? What's thriving? We want to hear from you this morning. We've got Eric Helland with us today to answer your questions. He's owner and president of Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. Eric, welcome back to In the Moment.
Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I am doing well. It's a good mood because the sun is shining and stuff is looking like spring finally.
Yes, isn't it? Amazing what a week can do.
What a week can do. Last time we talked, there was a little bit of snow. So I'm going to give people the information to ask Eric a question. Give us a call right now at 800-524-3604. You can text 956-SDPB or you can send us an email moment at sdpb.org. I gave you that wrong. In the moment at sdpb.org. So once again, the number 800-524-3604. You can talk to Eric right now. Eric, tell me when you look outside, Mother's Day coming up this weekend, it gets pretty exciting. What do you need to wait before you start doing?
Well, what I'm noticing right now is that, you know, everything is greening up and a lot of people are anxious to see if they think everything should be up and just, you know, vibrant. And certain plants are just kind of cranky and they don't want to wake up quite yet because the ground may not be warm enough. So that might be something. And the best way for them to check it out is to, you know, they can wait would be the one thing, or just kind of scratch the bark of whatever plant that they're kind of waiting on.
Okay.
Plants are like people. Each one's a little bit different.
I was going to say, like kids, some of them get up, some of them are a little cranky when it's time to wake up.
Exactly, yeah. And so a lot of times you'll notice parts that are just brown or not working right, and a lot of it might be because it's shaded, and that ground is just a lot colder. We've noticed a lot of people coming in with thinking their warm season grasses are dead, you know, in their landscape, and they're actually not. They're just still cranky. They're not waking up yet.
Sure.
So a lot of those things, it might take a little while. You know, we had a little bit of a flash of warm, and then it's cooling off, and then a little bit more warm, I think, coming up. So I think, you know, mid to late May, I think you should be able to start seeing things, and some things it might even take till the beginning of June.
All right. What's a warm season grass?
Oh, like your blue stem.
Okay.
That would be something that's just kind of, or just in that, something like that, that takes a long time for it to warm up.
So let's talk a little bit about just your yard, the grass in your yard. You just go out and mow it now? Do you have to do anything at the beginning of the season to really wake it up in the appropriate way?
Some people are really, they're adamant that you should, you know, power broom or dethatch. Or even just, we like to say aerate is probably the best thing, which is just a machine that pulls little plugs out. It's the other thing is if you just maintain it at a decent height, and try to tackle the weeds, I noticed the dandelions have really made a good attempt at, they're very good at showing their faces this past week.
Yeah. Yeah, and how do you approach that? Does that show up in your yard all at once or only in the places where, you know, it was last year?
Well, it's kind of interesting as I'm wondering, you know, in our area, I think most of South Dakota too, it was so warm and so nice throughout the most of the season into November. And then I think all of a sudden, boom, you know, then it got cold. So I don't think we had really good freezing temps to allow us to get any good weed control late fall. So I think a lot of that stuff that kept on coming back, is just was sitting there. and then now it's, you know, germinated and popped up. So dandelions are in full force, and I think that's something that's pretty easy to take care of. You just want to take care of it now before they all of a sudden start going to seed.
Sure. How do you take care of them now when you look outside and it's a carpet of yellow polka dots there?
Yeah, Yeah, and some people like that, and it's depending, you know, it's all in the eyes of the beholder. But, you know, the best way to take that, use something is, there is a chemical that's out there, it's 2,4-D or some form of that that you can spray that doesn't hurt the grass, for instance, but it will knock down those dandelions. And I like to recommend just kind of a not broadcasting it over everywhere, but just even getting one of those, a ready-to-use bottle, you know, just a spray bottle, and then go around and spot treat your lawn. That way you're not spreading chemical all throughout your lawn, even on areas that don't need it.
And if you're just tuning in, you can give us a call now. Ask Eric Helland your gardening question or your question about growing yards, trees, whatever you're looking for. 800-524-3604. Send me a text, 956-SDPB, and we'll ask your question on the air. Or you can email in the moment at sdpb.org. Phone number one more time, 800-524-3604. And Eric, do you have a lot of people coming in asking, you know, we talked about chemicals and dandelions. Are people asking for, you know, non-chemical solutions to things like dandelions and other weed issues in their yard?
Oh, yeah, of course. A lot of people are looking at how do they get rid of, you know, certain things that are just a nuisance. And if they don't, there are a lot of different types of products that are out there that are non-chemical, that are, you know, more along the organic line. The reality behind it is that it's just going to take more time, and it's going to be a little bit more, it's not going to be that fast reaction that you're going to get. And in some cases, it just won't work. I recommend is if you can just try to get on top of it and not be broadcasting the chemicals all over, just be really smart about it. I think that's the best way to handle it. There are a lot of good fertilizers that are out there that are just really good for the soil, working on the soil, like putting humic acid back into the ground, using that. There's some really good products out there that will help develop the mycorrhizae, which is the little, all the millions and millions of bugs that are in the ground already naturally present that help develop more and more and help with the aeration, the root growth, and all of those types of things for trees, shrubs, lawns, and everything. So that's something to, you know, it's basically treating the soil rather than the plant. If you have good soil, you will have great plants, trees,
good
and
soil,
and
great
lawns.
Good soil, great plants. Do you test your soil, or do you just see what comes up, and that's how you know?
Well, you know, if you have worms, that's a good sign.
Okay.
You have activity, you have birds, that's a good sign. If you have a lot of activity going on, you know, say kids running around the yard and stuff like that, and it gets lumpy here and there, well, that's a good sign. I mean, worms help aerate.
Right.
When it, especially after, you know, good rain, you'll start to see those pop up. Places that are really your lawn where it's tough, where there's a lot of traffic and it just nothing ever grows, it's probably, you could probably bounce a basketball off of it.
Sure.
That means it's just so hard and compacted, it doesn't have any air or water or nutrients or the combination of the three in the right amounts to be able to get anything to grow.
All right. We've got a call now from Jessica in Rapid City. Jessica, you're on the air with Eric Helland. What do you want to ask him?
Hi. I wanted to ask him about my lilac bushes, because I have these beautiful lilac bushes, and they've already bloomed. And they, last year at this time, they hadn't bloomed yet, but this year, like, they've already bloomed. They bloomed, like almost halfway through April. And then now I'm noticing that, like, the flowers are really turning this really, like, ugly brown. And I have no idea what's happening.
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. It's, so lilacs is just the process of the bloom. The flower has bloomed, and now it's going to go back, and it'll kind of create this kind of weird-looking seed head. It'll brunt, so what you're seeing is kind of like a shell. And then it'll turn around and get these little green, I don't know, they look like miniature bananas. And then they'll just hold on to there. And that's the one thing is this is the best time. Everybody should remember this. This is the best time after your lilacs are done blooming. This is when you want to trim them back. So that way they will bloom the following year. Now, if you don't, because you don't want to trim a lilac in the fall or during the summertime, because then it will not bloom the following year.
Okay.
So what you're seeing is absolutely normal. That's exactly what we'd want to see. It's all part of the process. And so just kind of, enjoy it. And if you do want to trim it, though, this would be the best time to do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jessica.
Thanks for calling.
Yep, thanks, Jessica.
All right, we have a text question to Eric, and if you want to give us a call, it's 800-524-3604. Ask your gardening and growing questions of Eric Helland of Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. And Eric, this question is it okay to apply Miracle-Gro type fertilizer to garden vegetables? Is that harmful?
Well, first of all, read the label on it. I don't have anything like that in front of me right now. I think you are all right with Miracle-Gro fertilizer because it's just like any other type of fertilizer. It has the regular elements in it, your NPK. I don't know what other micronutrients are in that one in particular. Read the label before you apply anything to make sure it is safe, but I, off the cuff, I would say you'd be all right to use that. Reading the directions and just following whatever the label says.
Do you think it will say right on there, will it be obvious, you know, this is safe for garden vegetables, or are you looking for other things on the label that would indicate it's okay?
Yeah, it'll tell you exactly, and they'll probably have different rates for what you're using it for. For example, I think the rates are different if you're putting them on your flowering annuals. Vegetables might be a little bit different at different times, and trees and shrubs will probably require more fertilizer based on the equations that they have on the label.
Interesting. All right, I hope that answers your question. Text me back. If it doesn't, we'll ask a follow-up question there. So give us a call, 800-524-3604. The text number, 956-SDPB. Email in the moment at sdpb.org. We have another caller from Rapid City. This is John. Hello, John.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to ask Eric?
Well, I have moved into a new place in Rapid City, and I would say 60% of the lawn was dandelions this spring when it came up. 20% was broadleaf grasses, and the rest was lawn grass. I've gone over it with Scott's Weed and Feed and then followed it with Ortho's Wheat Be Gone, which is one of the components is 2,4-D. I've got a good kill on the dandelions. I can see them getting really sick and puny, which is good.
Yep.
But I'm wondering how long before I can overseed with new grass so that we can get some lawn coming up.
Yep. So on, again, to read the label, they might have something in there if you're trying to establish a new lawn. If you're looking at, and you're seeing a really good kill, sometimes that just takes a few weeks for the dandelions really to shrivel up because it takes a while for it to ingest and for that chemical to affect the dandelions. It does not keep on growing. I actually had sprayed some, at my house and I didn't get a really good kill because of the temperatures, I think, just weren't adequate or correct, and it didn't take in enough of that of the chemical. So I went around and I sprayed them again, and now I think I'm getting some action now that it's warming up. So I would maybe wait a few more weeks and see that making sure that you are seeing that they are really going downhill, and you don't see any little green growth kind of growing up from the base of the different weeds that you've got going. And then I think after that, you would be able to go ahead and start. And the other thing you could do is if you hit it, when did you do this?
Spray it? Weed and Feed was put on about 3.5 weeks ago. And like you said, the cooler temperatures, it really didn't have a terrible amount of effect. And then, the spray, I went out and spot applied spray across the lawn 2 weeks ago. And then when we got that 80-degree heat for a couple of days, that's when you really saw the action take place.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that funny how that works? So
they have to be growing to be dying.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So that might be not a bad idea, is if you see the next wave come in and all of a sudden you're noticing, wow, this is really popping up, or they're still active, then maybe I could say nuke them again. And then turn around, you know, and wait for, you know, another 10 days and then start scratching in your seed with a rake or a broadcast. You don't have to get real intense about it. Or if you want to go rent an overseeder, that works really well. And then I would try to leave as much of that, the stuff, the dead stuff, on your grass, on your lawn, because that can actually act as a mulch to shade mm-hmm. the rest of the new seed that's coming up. So rather than getting down, yep, exactly. So rather than going completely, getting everything black dirt, that works really well. Is if you knock everything down, you kind of feel confident and you can kind of tell that, hey, this is really looking the direction that I want it to look. Then start your overseeding process and then use a really good, grass seed. I know, a lot of the independent garden centers use a seed that's for this area. Mm-hmm. For our areas, and use that, and then just follow. I think it's about 3 to 4 pounds per 1,000 square feet when you're overseeding. But then again, you can always add more or less to that, and then start scratching that in. You should have enough fertilizer from the weed and feed that you used, and then in another 3 weeks, and then you're not going to want to, if all of a sudden you start seeing dandelions start popping up again, then you're going to want to spot spray those or mechanically pull them out, because you don't want to get that 2,4-D on that nice new seedling that starts to, the grass seedling that starts to pop up.
All right, John. Okay. Sound good?
Great. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And John, thanks for calling. All right, Eric Helland is our guest. You can call and talk to him, 800-524-3604. The text number, 956-SDPB. Email inthemoment@sdpb.org. Eric, lots of people are ready to talk to you. Ready to take some more calls?
You bet.
All right, this is Marion from Pierre. Marion, welcome to In the Moment.
Yes, I got really sick dandelions, and I have sprayed them with both 2,4-D in the past, and this time I tried Milestone, and it always tends to really knock them down, and you can tell there's kill on them, but then the dandelion flower takes off and goes ahead and seeds out within a couple, 3 days. So
yep.
Are those seeds not viable, or what's going on?
No, they are. I mean, that's a natural, when any plant, tree, shrub, weed or whatever goes into where it's stressed out, it immediately will set off its seed so it can, you know, keep on growing and keep on living. It's, you know, the whole family of dandelions keeps on living. So that's going to be, that is the hardest thing about, those dandelions. The best time to actually treat all of this stuff, so we're treating all of these things in the spring, which works well. It knocks everything down. Make sure to grow your grass really, really tall and really thick, because then the grass, a really good healthy lawn, will choke out weeds if you're keeping it high enough, so then that way the soil temp stays cool enough for the grass to grow and keep on choking out those weeds. So that would be one thing to do. And then probably your best time to get rid of all of these dandelions would be in the fall, you know, late September, right when it's getting super cold, when we're having some good freezing temps. So then that way you could really knock everything down, and then the following spring is when you really notice all of your hard work that you did in the fall. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those weeds would not be present. Like I was saying earlier, is that I think it was just so being warm in last year that nobody got a good control on a lot of those weeds in the fall.
Okay. Yeah, that was my problem. And then it's new construction area, so I don't have good seeds or good grass coming up.
Oh, sure.
So anyway, it's in an area that it's just thick with dandelions.
It's a new state flower. Thanks for your call,
yeah.
Marion. Eric, we need to take a quick break, and we've got several calls in queue or questions via email to get to. Can you stick with us for a few minutes while we take a quick break, get a sip of water, and then if you want to talk to Eric Helland about your gardening and growing questions, 800-524-3604, 956-SDPB, or send me an email in the moment at sdpb.org. We'll take a break and be right back with more Gardening with Eric Helland. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and we're talking gardening and growing with Eric Helland. He's with Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. We've had a lot of phone traffic this morning, Eric, and apparently dandelions are a big concern for everybody this year. And now here's another one. This is an email from Sue, who, by the way, has a Mary Oliver quote on her email, which is my favorite poet. So thank you, Sue, for that. And she says, during the winter, feral cats damaged the bark of my young maples and Dakota pinnacle trees. What can I do to both respond to the damage and prevent further attacks?
Okay. The cat thing, I'd try to get a dog.
I was going to say, insert your own cat joke here. But
yeah. Exactly. But as far as the that type of tree, it's got a really soft bark, and it's just, you know, it probably helps. The cats just love it. But I'm guessing, and maybe we're hoping, that the cat did not completely remove the whole entire cambium layer, which is the cambium layer is what's making things, taking things up and down within the tree. The best thing to do is, just like a wound you would for yourself, is if there's any extra bark that's flapping or whatever, trim that back and just cut it back so nothing catches on it so it tears more. And then just wait and see to see how much of the top of the tree has still alive. If it did not completely girdle like what a rabbit will do. A rabbit is really good at girdling completely around, and they're really neat and clean, whereas the cats are just using it as a scratching post.
Okay.
That would probably be the best thing, is just kind of wait and see.
All right. Can you prevent for, I know, can you put something around the bark to prevent the cats in the fall, or?
Yeah, I would maybe use some tree wrap, or in that case, if it, or even like a piece of drain tile or a plastic pipe. It fits loosely around the bark, so then that way they stay away from it. The tree wrap, they might come over and just shred that in a matter of minutes, too.
Interesting. Give them a little scratching post somewhere else.
Yeah,
that won't really work, Sue. I'm sorry. All right. How about this one, Eric? At my new house, I have four large aspens in my turnaround. They're sending shoots out all over the grassy area all around them. Must have been going on for years, as it seems there are full roots underneath the surface. I have treated them with a tree killer by brushing it on the new buds, but it keeps coming back. Any ideas?
Yeah, that is a tough one, especially with the aspen. Aspen, I'm just renowned. That's how they basically, you know, they keep on flourishing, by sending off more shoots, and we notice that within landscapes and stuff like that. They also will, the best treatment that what I found is called sucker stopper. And sucker stopper is not something, it's an actually hormone that you spray onto the new sprouts that are popping up. And when you put it on, it's white, and it will just, and it works fairly fast. It will actually, the hormone actually stops and prevents that plant from going anymore, so it takes it back in, and then it does not hurt the aspen tree, for example, but it will not it won't sucker anymore in that area. And that's what's problem with those aspen, is if you go and disrupt certain areas, they'll actually start sending up shoots. It's kind of like the starfish effect, when they went in there and thought they're getting rid of starfish by cutting them in half and just made twice the amount of starfish.
And what's it called again, the product?
Sucker stopper.
All right, Doug, hope that helps you out. And now we've got a call from Tina from Newcastle, Wyoming. Tina, you're on In the Moment. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. I have a flower bed that I established, and I had a friend that had some manure that he had had for several years, and I put it in that spot. And everything I put there, the roots seemed to die, and when I was digging through it, I found these large worms. They're about as large as your thumb. They're black, And you couldn't even really tell they were worms until you, like, touched the end of them and I seen them move. I thought they were just clumps of dirt. Could they be eating the roots of my plants?
Yeah, and I can't remember exactly what the, what I know, I don't know if it was called cutworms or something like that, but I know there's certain, did the manure come from like a horse farm or was it, do you know?
This was cows.
Yeah, from cows, okay. Yeah, that's what, I'm not for sure, but I think there's a certain, it probably, there's something going wrong with it. If you have, if you're noticing that, try to remove as much as you can and put something else in there or replace that soil. The one thing when you're looking at buying manure or getting manure, things, the longer it sits, the better it becomes. Because it gets rid of all of those things. And, you know, some of that stuff, anything that we purchase as far as its manure has been, we call it steam cleaner, where they just, you know, they put it through a heat treatment to kill off all of those pathogens and all those nasty bugs that we don't want to have. So that's why, you know, you'll get a package and it'll be sealed up. And when you do get something that's out of it, you just really want to make sure it's been as, it's mellowed out as much as possible for as long as possible. And then those worms, I'd have to see exactly what those look like. But it's, you don't want to, I know some, there's one, I can't remember, my dad was telling me about this a long time ago, is that you didn't want to use that type of manure because it had those worms in there that would affect the plant. And I, off the top of my head, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Tina, can you send me a, send me a picture of your worms? Can you text it?
I'll have to back out the flower bed and see what I could do there.
When you do, it's SDPB, or no, let's see, 956-SDPB is the number. So send us a worm picture.
Okay.
And,
and then I can help, help Lori out with that. You bet.
And we'll follow up with you, Tina. Thanks for giving us a call.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. How about this one, Eric? What are the best plants to grow that are natural mosquito repellents? I've researched lemongrass, but I'm looking for a plant that grows well and is possibly a perennial. That's from Menno area. What do you think? Natural mosquito plants.
Yeah. Natural, like the natural in retarding the mosquitoes, right?
Yeah,
preventing.
And repelling. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Repelling, I don't know. I know that I keep saying coming to my mind is citronella that I've heard, but that's not a, that's an annual,
right?
That you get from a garden. And then also, I remember hearing something about marigolds being, that's again not a, I'm striking out on you here.
That's all right. That's one of those ones we'll follow up with, and I'll save that email. And if we come up with an answer, I'll email that back. One more question, and then we're going to let Eric Helen go back to work. It's a busy, busy time at Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls, and it's about tomatoes, Eric. And Ethan wants to know if it's too early to plant tomatoes in Rapid City, and if so, when can they go in the ground?
You know, I think Rapid is a lot warmer. Their ground temp is a lot warmer than what we are. And I think somebody had just said that their lilacs had bloomed already.
Right.
Right. So I think it's game time. I think we start filling up the gardens, and I think we're out of that chance for any frost or freezing. If you're planting, especially in a place where it is on the south side of a house, or you know it's, you know, it's been warm. That's, I think, the best thing for you to do is to go ahead and start planting the garden and getting that going.
Awesome. It's game time in South Dakota for growing and gardening. Eric Helland with Landscape Garden Centers in Sioux Falls. I want to say thanks so much for your time. We'll catch you next time.
Awesome. Thank you.